Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. It's great to have you join us, and it's good to be here, especially seeing that it's finally warming up. I'm really happy about that. And it's great to have another insightful discussion. Before we get started on our topic, let me introduce my guest co-host, my fabulous guest co-host, my awesome husband, Raymond. Hi, Raymond.
Hello, Delia.
So, Raymond,
yes.
Our topic today is stress. And it's about, you know, we've talked about stress before, but I feel like, you know, well, one, you can't, you know, it's something that we face on a daily basis, probably most of us, and it comes in different forms. So, you know, it was actually your suggestion for us to revisit that topic.
Right.
So, you know, let's define it. You know, what do you think? How do you define stress? Before I offer, you know,
formal thing. Well, I think stress is anything that causes you to, you know, I guess it comes in different shapes, sizes, and forms, you know, but it's something that makes you uneasy. It's something that pushes you off your center. It's something that is unsettling in terms of emotionally or otherwise, you know, that makes you not process things, I think, as you should. It disrupts your normal.
All right. So while I give you, we'll call it the formal. You know, it's not a definitive, but one of the formal explanations of what stress is. I want you to consider whether stress can be good, right? So stress is usually described as anything that becomes too much for us, something that overloads our ability to cope. So anything that puts pressure on us is described as stress. You know, so what do you think about it? Can there be good stress? Is there such a thing as good stress?
In that context, anything that
seems to be, you know, become too much, overloads you, or threatens your ability to cope.
Right. So all of those explanations almost make it sound as if it's something negative, as if it's not something that you would want in your life, right? Something that overloads your system, then prevents you from functioning at your best. So, and your question is based on that, can there be anything, such a thing as good stress or making this an opportunity? Well, I think in that context, people say, oh, I love a good challenge. Is there a difference? You know, I love a good challenge. I like the next task at hand. I don't know how I'm going to solve it, but if I become overwhelmed with it, I don't think
it's good, right?
So then,
just consider, what would life be like if we didn't have stress?
Utopic.
That would be a good thing?
You're almost saying that stress is unnecessary evil.
It's a
necessary
thing.
Part of life.
Right. It's a necessary.
Because part of it could be it facilitates growth. It facilitates potential.
Right.
Right.
So it facilitates. You know, it encourages and tests
Okay.
Our ability to manage a challenge.
Right.
Right? So, it can be, I think, significant and impairing
right.
when it overwhelms our ability to cope. But you can be stressed about something and then manage that thing where you are able to, even though it's stressful, it does not overwhelm your ability to cope with it. It stresses it. It tests your ability to cope with it, but it doesn't overwhelm your ability to cope with it.
So then, I guess that's the difference. You know, where you said it stresses it, but it doesn't overwhelm it. Because if it does overwhelm it, then almost as if then you have lost control of
it.
Right.
Yeah.
So therefore, there's a fine line then that says, I am stressed, but I'm not overwhelmed.
Right. So then.
So then, is it really stress?
Right. Well, I think it is stress, but I think for the purpose of this discussion, we're going to focus on stress that is or has become overwhelming. So stress as a challenge.
Okay.
Right?
Right, okay.
So, you know, because I wanted to make that distinction. We've made that distinction. Now I want us to focus on things that, you know, on the fact that when you are stressed, it is that your ability to cope is
compromised,
right? It's challenged.
Okay.
So what is a stressor? What are some of the stressors that people face? You know, it could be anything. Family stressors, children, job, money.
That's always a good one. Money.
But, you know, I mean, a stressor can be anything. You know, simple stressors, noise, health, going on a first date, you know. And if
first day at school.
Yeah, and first day of school, right, going off to college.
Yeah.
And I feel like the more stressors we have, the more stressed we are. So you can have one thing, and it's stressing you, but it's not overwhelming you. But when you have multiple things stressing you, well, multiple stressors, then, you know, that can be overwhelming.
And then one person's stressor could be another person's, you know.
Motivator.
Motivating. Or it's not even a stress. It's like, you know, because I can think of context. Why are you making such a big deal about that? It's not such a big deal where that person is cringing and almost in fear or almost crippled by whatever that thing is, where someone else is saying, oh, I would not have the same reaction. So I guess, again, it varies from person to person.
You know, the other day I was at a senior center, and, you know, I was talking with four older gentlemen sitting at a table. And, you know, we were talking about the issue of depression. And I said to, you know, and one of them said, oh, nothing stresses me. I no longer worry about anything. You know,
okay.
I no longer worry about anything. It's just
choice.
What it is, and that's all, yeah. And, you know, the other gentleman said, you know, yeah, he was feeling a little stressed because his wife had just died. You know, and, you know, so, you know, the four of them sitting there were at such
different
places. Yeah.
In relation to stress.
Right.
And I guess probably each one of them at some point in their lives, you know, maybe the one who's saying, I'm not worried about anything, I'm not going to let anything stress me, maybe his wife has been dead and he's moved on. You know, his relationship, he's reconciled with his children or come to terms with it that it won't get any better. Or all the things that were probably stressing him, you know, he has his... You know, his social security, his home is paid off. Whatever the other things that would stress people, he's moved beyond that and gone. I guess it's like, what was the thing that we were talking about the other day in terms of just grief, you know, like going through a cycle and come out on the other side and saying, you know what, we have all heard it. I'm not going to let anything stress me. And a lot of times it's just talk to just say that, but, you know, to actually live a life that says, you know what, whatever it is, I'm not going to let it stress me.
Right. So, you know, I mean, I think, how does the body respond to stress, right? You know, because people's bodies, just like how you said, you have a psychological or an emotional different response to stress. I think there's also a physical or physiological. They can be physiologically different responses to stress. And if it's a high-stress situation, like a situation that requires immediate response, then, you know, you can, you know, people have been known to lift cars or do all these you know, really...
Those are mothers and their children.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, but just to do these phenomenal things under significant stress, right?
Right, adrenaline.
Yeah, because of the adrenaline.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, you know, your body responds, because some people become really crippled.
With that stress.
With the same stress, right?
Yeah.
You know, you might end up in pain in your body.
Yeah.
You know, you end up where you just can't function.
Right. You're over, I guess, as you said, overloaded with the event.
So, you know, I mean, it's just different. But, you know, how does the body respond to stress? So some of the things that happen when the body responds to stress is that for some people the blood pressure rises.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart, your breathing may become more rapid.
Mm-hmm.
Your digestive system might slow down. So some people, when their stress loses the ability to eat,
mm-hmm.
you know, your heart rate might rise,
mm-hmm.
your immune system goes down. So you might find that you adjust when you're stressed. You're more likely to get a cold or to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Your muscles become tense, so then you get those tension headaches or those back pains or neck pains or, you know, things like that. And then no sleep. You know, which may be due to this heightened state of alertness that, you know, results from not being able to rest your mind. You know, so, I mean, those things, those physiological symptoms
right.
of stress is just like, you know, it can be immobilizing, can, you know, can really, like, hold you back.
Yeah. But I guess, understanding and coming to terms with the fact that I'm stressed by whatever that thing is or event, you know, death of the family, loss of a job, you know, whatever it might be that's causing the stress. I guess they're not all created equal,
mm-hmm.
as are the people who deal with those stress are not able to handle them all equal at the same.
Right.
But how do you know where to go, how do you know how to best resolve or
right.
deal with based on, one, what the stress is, and number two, just as importantly, me, myself, you know, and how I react to that.
I think that's the crucial point,
yeah.
is that it comes down to, and this is where we started with discussions with Delia, is that it's the connection between the thoughts, the feelings, and the action. So how are you thinking about the stress that you're facing? You know, how are you thinking about your ability to cope with that stress? I think that becomes really crucial. You know, examining how you're thinking about that and what you're feeling about that, and hence how you're behaving. Because if you're feeling crippled by the stress and you're not sleeping or eating, or you know, you're just, you know, feeling like you can't function, then you know that creates difficulty, right?
Yeah, it does. And I think probably even at times where you said, no, you know, or someone is trying to intervene and maybe trying to help, or, you know, asking questions in terms of, because your behavior is different, or, as you said, you're not sleeping,
mm-hmm.
you're not eating, as your mood is different. But unless you recognize that you need help, you might see this person as not being helpful, but being a bother.
Which person?
The person who is asking. You know, oh, I can see that you're not sleeping. How, you know, you're not eating. Are you okay? You know, what's going on? Where that person could be provoking or
triggering,
that,
right?
Right, right. Whereas, you know, so how do you really truly then figure out how to get help? Because if you're thinking the person who is trying to reach out to you, recognizing that there's something different going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're shunning them away and saying, you know what, don't bother me.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So that could be an issue in itself, because then it's fine. Then stay in your misery.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that also that it's really important to understand that, you know, you have to look at how your behavior has changed or is changing. Like self-awareness, which we're always talking about, is really important. So, you know, recognizing
yeah.
that, okay, that I'm thinking about this thing more than before,
yeah.
or this thing is really preoccupying my mind. So maybe somebody won't come up to you and say, oh, I won't notice that you're not sleeping or you're not eating.
Right.
You know, they might not notice that, but you will notice within yourself.
Yeah.
And that's for the individual to then say, then I need to make some change. I need to, you know, seek help, or I need to talk to somebody about this, because this is really bothering
and
me.
That's hard sometimes.
What's hard?
You know, that part, to come to the realization then that I need help outside of myself. Because you're up all night racing through your mind all the things that are stressing you or potential solution to, like, for example, your financial situation is what's stressing you. And, you know, so you stay up all night, you know, figuring out how you're going to solve the problem. And you're still not coming to any conclusion because the solution is not as straightforward. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been, you wouldn't be stressful,
right?
You know, it's like you used to make $10 an hour and now you're making $5 an hour, but you need to continue your life. Or you have now lost your job and your savings is finite. So you trying to solve the problem on your own is one thing, but it causing that ripple effect of, as you said, the physiological, the emotional, and all, you know, and all the other things are a consequence of you being preoccupied and stressed with this one thing being a financial thing. But the impact is so much bigger, and it affects everyone else around you because those in your family are going to be affected by your financial situation. Absolutely. But no, they're also affected by
your stress.
Exactly.
But, you know, the thing about it is, and this is what I think sometimes we neglect to recognize, right, is that if you said to your family, okay, I used to make $5, but now I'm only making $3,
right,
that would, you know, and we have to deal with this problem as a unit, as a family,
right,
then people might be able to adjust. But if you're saying, okay, I'm not going to tell anybody, I'm going to pretend that, whatever, and, you know, so I'm just going to try to solve it within myself.
Right.
That adds to the stress.
And that's the hook. The hook is, I think, I don't, and I'm not saying this is everybody, but I am going to gamble and say part of the issue is that I cannot let anyone know that my life is any different.
Is that about pride?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. That says there's no way you're going to know that I no longer have a job or I make half the amount of money that I made, or my life is different.
Okay, so then it comes back to the question, which I always ask, which is, what is the goal that you want to have? Do you want to be stressed about your life?
But it's important that how people think about me.
Right. Okay, so that's important. But is that more important than having, reducing the stress in your life? Is how people feel about me more important than how much stress I have in my life?
Until I can figure out how to solve the financial issue, it is more important for me to present well.
Okay. Well, but see, that's a decision that people will have to make.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what's more important for you,
mm-hmm,
figuring out, because I think eventually everybody gets to a point where you realize that what the other person thinks about you really doesn't matter as much as you think it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Well, I
so
guess when you crash and burn, then, you know.
Yeah, but finding healthy ways to deal with stress will always improve the quality of your life. Will always improve your well-being. And that's something that's within your control. And that's what takes us to, you know, the first thought that says that it's you who's in control of your stress. Because how you choose to think about the situation, the stressor, is entirely up to you. It's a choice you make.
Okay.
Right?
And again, I go back to a couple of these things. That says, you know what? It's so... In theory, yes.
But it is, Raymond.
No, hold on a minute. Because you're saying to me, if something stresses you, you recognize that stress, you own that stress, you confront that stress, and you find solutions.
No, and then you decide how do you want to handle it.
Oh.
Even whether you
but
have
it might
to,
take me a while to get
no,
there.
No, it may. But you see, but the thing about it is, remember now, the only person who controls how you think about something is you.
I understand.
Nobody else and nothing else controls your thought but you.
I understand. But while I'm being stressed, I don't know if I can be the most rational.
No, it doesn't have to be
reasonable, you know, thoughtful person during that period of time.
But what you're missing, Raymond, is this, is that it's not about being rational and reasonable. It's about saying, what will happen if I worry about this?
But that's being rational.
What will happen if I worry about this?
That is being rational.
But who says you have to be irrational to be worried?
No, but I'm stressed, so therefore my thought process is not the way it used to be. I'm usually organized. I dot my I's, I cross my T's.
No, but it doesn't have...
Something has now overloaded my system.
But you can still dot your I's and cross your T's. It's just that your heart may be racing, you may not be eating, you may not be sleeping because you're worried about this particular thing.
Right.
It's your child, it's your money, it's your relationship, it's whatever.
Right.
But how you choose to think about and approach it is up to you. So you can say, well, I can worry about it and not eat and not sleep, and I will likely get more sick.
Okay.
Right? And but if I eat or if I sleep, what does it change?
Yeah, I hear you. And again, I go back to the point of saying, I have to, that takes me to a rational place. That takes me to a. I am, you know what? I
most
am stressed.
Most people are rational though, even when they're worried.
I hear it, but again, it depends. I guess they're not all created equal. You know, if there's a sudden abrupt change as opposed to something that you're worried about because you know it's coming, I think they're two different things.
What do you mean?
Someone can send you a notice that says, here is your notice, ma'am. You're going to lose your job in 2 months.
Okay.
You're going to lose your job in a month. You walking into your work of, place of work tomorrow, here, go home, you're no longer employed.
Right.
I think it's two different reactions.
It is. But what I'm saying is the human spirit is a resilient spirit. And so, yeah, some people are thrown off, but it's not a cookie-cutter reaction. And most people are resilient enough to bounce, to say, okay, so that means I may not be able to eat chicken 3 days a week, but I can eat chicken on Sunday, right? So you make adjustments in your life to accommodate the changes that's going on.
Over time.
Yeah.
Because my first reaction is going to be, everything is a loss.
No, but you know, the thing about it is, and this is what we talked about before, so in a situation where it's an immediate stress, or it's something that requires your immediate attention, a situation that requires your immediate attention, your flight or flight response is immediate.
Yes.
And it's about survival.
Yes.
So you survive in the moment.
Yes.
But losing your job is not about survival in the moment. It isn't.
No.
It's about adjusting your life over time.
Oh, wow. You mean like at some point I'm going to say, maybe this is an opportunity?
Maybe, because resilience might, you know, so because losing your job is not, it's not a life, it's not like, okay, you know, something overturned, the bed fell over and, you know, I have to, it's not a response that requires somebody to respond right now. And just to you know, because I have not been doing this over the last couple of weeks, to invite people to call in, 619-639-4621. If you want to call in and participate in the discussion, but it's 619-639-4621. You know, and I think that, Raymond, you know, having an attitude of gratitude, and we say that sounds cliche, but saying to yourself, like you just said, that losing your job may be an opportunity to start a business.
Yeah, it could be. But I don't know if you could see it in the immediate moment.
You may not be able to see it in the immediate moment.
Right.
But as time, because again, knowing that human beings tend to be resilient.
I don't know. It's looking from, you know, the thousand foot perspective. In the moment when people are dealing with stressful events, and we could stick to the job event. So let's not make it the death of a family member, because then that just becomes so finite. Because as you said, losing your job, you know, it could be an opportunity.
And it doesn't require you to survive in the moment.
Right. And it's not, it does not threaten your immediate
right.
health.
It does not test your ability to survive in the moment.
However,
it's not like you're going to starve to death because you lost your job.
I know that. But in that moment or in that time period where you're stressed and you can't see anything else, you can't see yourself paying your mortgage and paying for your child.
But what I'm saying
and the
is...
the quality of life. And a lot of it, I think, is, as call it pride, call it just quality of life, you know, adjusting.
Right.
So here you used to live here. So you have to then rationalize it and come to a
but
reasonable
because,
conclusion.
Because, again, it's not about survival in the moment. That is something
but
that...
I don't handle that kind of stress
very
well.
But you see, but what I'm saying is still, because it's not about survival in the moment,
mm-hmm.
then it's something that you can take time to adjust to.
That is all might be true. But there are folks who do not deal with that life-changing event in the same way. They see it as... comparable to something that is life-threatening.
That's devastating.
Exactly.
You know,
so
when we
not,
think about the woman yesterday, Mick Jagger's girlfriend who committed suicide, you know, and she committed suicide, they said, because she was having financial problems.
It's kind of hard to wrap your head around that.
It is, you know, because, you know, people look at her and say she's rich. She's a famous designer. She had lots of money. She had lots of access. She had lots of resources.
Right.
And so even with all of that,
right.
you know, she chose this response to her stress.
Right.
You know?
This was her out.
Yeah, this was her out.
Right.
And but you know, it seems like it was something that was building over time.
Right.
Right? And, right. She, you know, because, for example, she canceled a show a few months ago. I think in London, you know. So it's building over time.
Right.
So it's not like, even though she probably had financial problems and she could see the business going down, you know, clearly it seems like Mick Jagger was not aware of how stressed she was, because he seems totally surprised by her actions, you know. You know,
right.
So
she was covering her stress, or he didn't give a damn.
I think he did care, but
right.
probably
right.
she did not reach out and seek, because she was... She was probably seeing it as a be-all and some-all. She was, you know, looking at this as, you know, so devastating that
right.
she had to choose this option.
Right, because her name, her whatever else, defined,
you know, yeah,
her
we don't know the
was.
Details of it, but what
right.
I'm saying is...
Stress letter.
Right, you know, so, when you think about the fact that she's already an established name, she's an established designer, she's got famous clients, right, but she couldn't see it any other way, even though I'm sure that whatever, if it's finances, whatever it was, whether it's declaring bankruptcy and starting again, there would have been other options available to
right.
her. And that's what I'm trying to, you know, I think that's our takeaway, is that seeing that seeing that there can be other ways of looking at it, that the problem, the way you choose to look at the problem is a choice. So you can say, well, right, I want to live in this house, but what's the worst that would happen, that I wouldn't live in this house?
Yeah, people are going to talk about me.
Okay, but is that the worst that could happen?
For me, it's very important.
Okay, but see, that's again a choice. Because you're concerned about what people
absolutely.
Think.
Absolutely, and you know that
okay.
is absolutely true.
No,
it
no.
It is very significant.
No, but see,
yes.
that's for someone who defines their life
and
by what other people
and
think.
And a lot of people do.
Okay, but see, that's a choice that they make. So you can decide and define your life by what other people do. But I would suggest that, you know, if you measure what's really important, right, that you want to be healthy. So is it that you want a place to live? Or that you want to live in a place that you cannot afford?
I want to live in a place that people say that's a nice house to live in.
You, Raymond, I think that's one way of looking at it. I don't think most people do that.
I'm not saying most people do. I'm just saying, and that's just me, you know, again,
I think,
it's symbolic.
I don't think most people do that.
People care about what people think about
yeah,
them.
But
and
I
think it affects when their life, when they're not able to live at a certain standard that they think that they should live at and people expect them to live at, it does affect how it stresses them. And what they see as a solution.
Right, but see, what I'm saying is, so you could continue to live in a house that you can't afford, but at some point, the marshal is going to come and they're going to throw you out, and everybody's going to know that you can't afford
it. But until that day, I am working at a solution or stressed over a solution to keep me there.
Okay, or you can say, I can choose to do something else, which is going to save face, so you maintain control of your life. What I'm saying is, so you can deceive yourself, or you can choose to say, you know, look, I have. I think
okay.
that, you know, stress is something that people, you know, and that's the question that I'm coming to, is how important is this to you? Is this worth my life? Do I really care that much about what people think? And I think most reasonable, rational people don't. Most people at some point get to the point where you really don't care what other people think.
And that's what you're hoping. You're hopeful that they get to that point without causing severe damage.
Right.
I'm not saying it has to be as severe as.
Yeah, I think most people do. I think eventually most people come to realize that life is really that short.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? The one person that does it otherwise is 100% of that person.
It's 100% of that person.
And
but when we think of them in. No. When we think of them in the big picture, when we think of the general response.
It might be less than 1%.
When we think about
globally.
The general response, most people, I think, choose to always take care of themselves.
I hope
and are
so.
Not so much concerned about what other
I
people think.
I hope so.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at DiscussionDelia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and blessings.